following program is an unrehearsed personal opinion program intended to allow the comments of the public on various issues and topics of discussion. The opinions expressed are not the views of this station or the sponsors. Now, here's comment.
Well, thank you and good morning, everyone. 16 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock, and we've been talking about this for several days. Margaret Byfield with American Stewards of Liberty is our guest this morning on the comment program. And for that discussion with Margaret, I am going to turn things over to Mike Burge. Mike, you've had a chance to talk to Margaret a few times, and you were at the discussion back on March 9th at the high school. So why don't I just go ahead and turn the reins over to you?
All right. Thank you, Zach. Yeah, we're glad to have Margaret back with us. She was here March 9th, kind of zoomed in and zoomed out and stirred things up a little bit with this information on the 30 by 30 land grab. So it's good to have Margaret back with us. So, Margaret, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and thanks for having me back on. I didn't mean to make a mad dash to Nebraska and then leave you guys.
Well, I know you're pretty busy, and when we talked to you the first part of March, this whole executive order about the 30 by 30 was kind of new, and there were a lot of things happening pretty fast, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. I mean, it kind of hit everybody with a surprise coming out on January 27th, and so, you know, getting people informed and educated on what it was and what we thought we would see come out of the administration was really important, which is why the Valentine meeting was so important. It was such a fantastic turnout of landowners, people interested in this topic, and, you know, word has really spread from there, and I think a lot of people have taken a look at the program now, really investigated it, and, you know, see that there's some real problems with what the administration is attempting to do.
I know there's been quite a bit more recognition to this around the area of the Planning Commission over in Brown County next to us. They had some representatives at that meeting on March 9th, and they've adopted a resolution opposing this. I've seen articles in the Fence Post magazine, if people are familiar with that. Elko Daily has a nice article about it as well from, I believe it's Elko, Nevada area. So I wanted to go back and find out, first of all, Margaret, what have we learned new since the last month almost from March 9th, 30 days or so down the road? What have we learned new about this 30 by 30 plan?
Well, from the administration directly, pretty much nothing. Nothing substantive. They have done a few briefings with, the Western Caucus in Congress, and also, I think, combined with the Natural Resource Committee members, sent Biden a letter signed by 64 members of the Senate and Congress opposing 30 by 30 and asking for details on what their plan is. That was a very, very critical letter because it showed the will of Congress opposing this plan and getting out in front of it and requiring accountability. So we were really pleased to see them do that. As a result of that, the White House actually finally did give the members' staff a briefing. And in that briefing, however, though, they still did not release really any major details. They kind of told us what we already knew. The staffers pressed them for details on how they were going to implement, what the policies were going to look like, what tools they were going to use, and they really had no substantive answers. So they were still working on that. The one thing they did confirm, however, when they were pressed on it, is would this just be a program that applied to federal lands, or would it also include private lands? And they said absolutely for it to be successful, it had to include private lands. But, you know, one of the things that we do continue to hear, especially when our people push back on this, is we hear that, you know, everything that they're going to do on private lands is going to be voluntary. They're interested in conservation, not protecting the land, which doesn't match with what they've published. That they, you know, triple underline voluntary. So I think that's signaling what we really need to be watching for. And one of the reasons I think they do push for the voluntary message and the conservation message is because they need landowners to cooperate with them to implement this program. So, you know, they need to have willing landowners sign on. And one of the things that we, you know, I think I mentioned in Valentine is, of course, you take a look at their rhetoric and what they print, what they publish, but then you really need to watch what they do in their actions. And as we talked about in Valentine, they've already rescinded the veto power of states and local governments to veto a land acquisition in their state or in their county. So we've already seen that action. And I think another interesting thing that's happened is with the infrastructure bill that Biden has recently announced. Along with that is the tax changes that he's proposing. And, you know, Mike, I'm sure you've probably been hearing about this too, but in that they're talking about removing the stepped-up provision, which is the tax provision basis that allows a landowner, when they pass on their property to their heir, to avoid a significant estate tax. And as you know, landowners are typically, our farmers and ranchers are typically land-rich and cash-poor. And so the estate taxes can absolutely destroy an operation, and either people are put in a position where they have to sell the operation in order to pay the estate tax, or put it in a conservation easement and get the tax deduction. So, you know, that's kind of where we're seeing things move. They want landowners to willingly work with them, but then they're also pushing policies that are going to force landowners into that situation, and that's what we have to be very mindful of.
I guess I have so many questions running through my mind right now about some of this, and you kind of answered a little bit there about this is not just we're going to come and knock on your door and say, okay, we need to take this section of your land. But I was going to ask you what evidence that you have to call this a land grab, because it's not a grab, it's more subtle than that of ways of getting access to that. So would that be a fair statement?
Well, I think to implement it, they have to be subtle, because private landowners aren't going to willingly, you know, go into this. But I think one of the reasons I think land grab is very fitting is because we have to remember this isn't a new proposal. This isn't something that has come up as a response to the climate crisis. The radical environmentalists have been pushing this agenda for years, and where we are right now is we're in the moment of time when they're in the power in order to implement these kind of policies, and so we see them being more aggressive. This is their moment. So I think we have to take a look at the environmental literature that is behind this, and what are they saying? And what they're saying is they want to permanently protect in its natural state 30% of the nation by 2030. So those are the people driving the agenda. Now, the administration, to sell it, is going to have to come out with a tamer version in order to sell it to the people. So I think that's why, you know, it's kind of the nuances of it. I think the administration is going to have to be very careful on how they go about this. But when you look at the people pushing the agenda, they're not being so careful. And in fact, they go further. And they explain that their agenda is not just 30 by 30, but it's 50 by 50. You can read the CAP report. You can read information coming out from Defenders of Wildlife, all of the environmental organizations. You can read the National Geographic. And they talk about how what we really need to get to is 50% of the nation permanently protected in its natural state by 2050 in order to really protect species and protect against climate disaster.
You mentioned CAP. Would you explain for some of our listeners what Center for American Progress is?
Center for American Progress is a very progressive liberal organization, and they were originally funded by George Soros. I think he had the original backing behind him. There's funders like Bloomberg supports this group, but you can go on their website and see that they self-describe themselves as a very progressive liberal organization. And they put out a study in 2019, which is How Much of Nature Should We Save? I think it's the title of that organization. We refer to it as the CAP Report. But it's the one that goes through and explains, from their perspective, why we must conserve, protect 30% of America's land by 2030. And not only just land, but lands and oceans by 2030. And so they have been kind of the primary source of the agenda as far as establishing the purpose and the need for the agenda. And so it's a really good report for landowners to read to get a flavor of what they're pushing in their arguments. And even, you know, it has a host of citations that you can take a look at and go through and kind of follow their thinking on it.
The only one name that I recognized on their board of directors was Senator Tom Daschle, former senator out of South Dakota, is on that. If that tells anybody out there anything about what their agenda is. The rest of them, I guess I'm not enough in the know to figure that out. Now, I wanted to ask you, I had a call last week, I think it was, from a lady out of Northeast Colorado, and she said that they've been used to having the Air Force out there with missile silos and those kind of things doing work and whatever. But lately, I believe it was the Corps of Engineers had sent them like a 5-page document asking landowners to be able to survey their land for cultural and historical artifacts and those kind of things. So have you heard about that, Margaret?
Not directly from the landowners, but I you know, that is a little concerning because one of the tools that they have, that the administration has said they will be using, is the Antiquities Act. And this is something that they informed the congressional staffers on in that meeting. The Antiquities Act is the act that allows the president to establish a national monument. So we have the Grand Staircase, Escalante National Monument, which I think was almost 2 million acres that President Clinton established and created quite an uproar. Bears Ears is in the news because Obama created that one. And then Trump came in and reduced the size of those monuments. And so that, again, is a conflict. But it's, you know, when you think of land use policy, you think of Congress having the power to determine what's going to be wilderness, what it's going to withdraw, what's going to be federal lands, you know, those make those kind of decisions. But the Antiquity Act gives the president the power by the stroke of a pen. He doesn't have to have anybody else's approval. By the stroke of his pen, he can designate a national monument for reasons of cultural, historical significance. And so that is concerning if the lands are being surveyed for that purpose, because it signals that we know they're going to use this particular device, but it signals that they're already kind of in the works looking for the appropriate areas to do that with. Now, the Antiquities Act was originally created to do things such as withdraw, like Thomas Jefferson's gravesite, you know, the area of the smallest area around that historical site, or preserve Indian artifacts. And that was the purpose for the act. It was never intended to be a land grab. I'll use that term again, to withdraw these lands. So that, I think, for that Colorado landowner, I'd be very concerned as to what they are really looking for, because the Antiquity Act is probably going to come into play.
Okay, so something to keep aware of there. Now, they're not just going to take 30% of all land. First of all, here's a question for you, and I don't know if you have this answer right off your fingertips there, but how much land and water in the United States does the federal government already control and or own, I guess?
About 28% of the land they already own. So that's all the federal lands that are primarily in the West. 12% is what they say is permanently conserved for the purposes of 30 by 30 so far. And that includes both federal lands that are severely restricted and then private land with permanent conservation easements.
So they basically need around 450 million acres more to reach 30 by 30?
Yeah, off that 12% figure, yes.
Okay. And so in a variety of ways that they might be able to acquire that. So what do you tell to people when they come up and say, well, you know, they're really not doing this. It's really not a land grab. So where can you refer them to do their own research to find out about this? Or how do you answer those questions from the people that say, ah, no, you're just overreacting to this and crying wolf?
Well, I think the CAP report, the Center for American Progress report, is really important to take a look at. I would also take a look at the Department of Interior fact sheet that came out on January 27th when the executive order was passed. Department of Interior released their, you know, their fact sheet on it, and in that is where they talk about 12% is currently preserved, permanently preserved. So that tells us what they're looking at, what kind of devices they're looking at putting land in for that. And I think, you know, kind of back to the front end of this conversation, from the federal land perspective, the federal land states, I think, are very concerned because they already know they're at a disadvantage. The federal government owns a large part of that land, and it's a matter of putting it in, putting more severe restrictions on the use of that land to get to the 30 by 30. On private land, they're going to have to have willing land owners. So I would watch for the carrot and stick approach, you know, where, you know, hey, we really want to work with you, but we're changing the tax code so that at the end of the day, you're just going to have to conserve. You know, you're going to have to go into our programs. You're going to have to take our money. You're going to have to put a conservation easement on it to get the tax deduction. So, you know, I think it's both of those things that you have to look at. But from the administration side, you know, there isn't a whole lot of information out there yet from them specifically. And one of the things that we're really pushing for is they're supposed to send President Biden a report on April 27th or by April 27th as to what this plan is going to look like. And after the White House briefing to the congressional staff, they indicated that was just going to be a high-level report, meaning it's not going to have a lot of details in it. So again, we may not really learn what the administration has planned from a substantive perspective anytime soon. And also, we don't know if that report is going to be made public. But I think, you know, we have to really watch what is coming out of the administration, but also, you know, take note of and watch what the major environmental groups are doing as well, because they all have a seat at the table and with this administration, and they're all pushing their own agenda, and they all want their piece of pie, their special projects that they've been working on for years. And, you know, just take note of those and watch those and be very watchful and mindful for those kind of programs coming into your community.
So let me ask you, during your March 9th, there was one, several slides that I thought were pretty interesting. One of those had the numbers of how many new national parks, how many thousands of acres of oil and mineral leases that were going to be shut down and those kind of things. Do you have those numbers handy that you could tell our listeners about wild and scenic rivers and all the kind of things that they were talking about as part of this 30 by 30?
Well, yeah, and that was Congress. Congress passed the bill. The House passed the bill. I think it was H.R. 803, and it was a huge wilderness bill. And it was putting 1.5 million acres into wilderness, into new wilderness. And the wilderness restriction, that's kind of the worst thing you can do to land, because there's absolutely no management, no mechanical use of any kind, such as automobiles or chainsaws, can be used to manage the land. And if a fire starts, they just let it burn. So that's why you have these massive, you know, forest fires in the West. So they wanted to create 1.5 million acres of new wilderness, and then 1.2 million acres of the mineral withdrawal around outside the Grand Canyon area, where there is where we have a lot of our rare earth minerals, those minerals that we are now importing from China and Mexico, I mean China and Europe. And so if we can't get to those resources, that makes us further dependent on those companies, on those countries. And I think it was 1,200 miles of new wild and scenic rivers were included in this bill. And then some other things, expansions of national wildlife refuges. I mean, it was a huge bill and, you know, appropriately a land grab. And that did pass the House. It's still pending in the Senate, in the Senate committee. And so, you know, we're keeping an eye on that one, too, because that's really important that bill gets stopped.
Now, when you were here, you had mentioned about people getting involved. I know there's a local committee being formed. They have, in In fact, we've got a representative that'll be on this program Friday morning at 10:15 and talk a little bit about on the local level. And I think they have a meeting coming up on the 13th here in Valentine for anybody interested in helping to draft a resolution that can then be taken to local government entities, whatever that might entail there. So are you seeing more of that pick up now that more people are becoming aware of this? And in what parts of the country are you seeing the greatest response?
I think Nebraska is doing a great job right now. And one of the best things that has come out of this so far, I think, is that local people are getting very interested and getting educated and getting organized. All of these programs have to be implemented at the local level. So, you know, doesn't matter what land use program that they put in, if they try to put it in Cherry County, if you have an organized citizenry with a committed board of commissioners to fight off these kind of proposals, it's one of the best things you can do is to protect your home base. And that makes it very difficult for them to put these kind of programs in. And so, you know, individual landowners getting together, getting organized, getting ready, taking a look at the policies that the counties have to make sure that they represent the philosophy and the culture of the local people, and making sure those policies are really strong. All of those things are really important to do. And that ultimately is what's going to trickle up to D.C. and help stop this program at the national level as well. Nebraska is getting very well organized. Colorado has been in the northwest corner. Colorado has been getting very well organized, and they have been organized for these kind of projects for a while. And then next week we'll be in Oklahoma, which is very interested in doing a similar process and getting their people organized. And then we'll also be in Montana and then in Rapid City, Montana on the 19th and Rapid City on the 20th. And so, you know, out of those areas, one of the reasons we're going in there is because people are asking for our help to come in and get them educated and organized. So, but that's one of the best things that can happen. I'm really, really pleased to hear that the landowners are getting organized in Cherry County.
What time and where in Rapid City are you going to be out, in case there's some listeners up in our fringe area or from here that would like to hear all this information in person?
That one, the Rapid City, is going to be at the Elks Theater, and it's at, I believe it's at 7 o'clock, and it'll be on the 20th. And, you know, you can go to elkstheater.com to actually pre-purchase a ticket. They wanted to make sure that everybody, if anybody traveled a long way, that they could get a ticket in advance. So they set that up online through the theater system. And so that makes it really easy if people want to travel a long way. But I understand, I haven't been there yet, I understand it's a beautiful facility. So I'm excited to be able to go in there and do that.
So I wanted to back up a little bit. We talked a little bit about the CAP coming up here. And in that document, 30 by 30 was not the end goal of that document, correct? Wasn't it actually at some point, I don't know if there's a timetable on it yet, but 50 by 50?
Yeah, that's one thing that the CAP report goes into pretty well, is there is internationally this philosophy, it's called the half-earth philosophy, that the real radical environmentalists really support and are pushing. And so, and that's one thing we have to remember, is that this isn't just a policy that is being pushed in the U.S. It's actually a world goal by the environmental groups. And it's what they call the half-earth philosophy, that they believe that half of the earth should be permanently protected from any human use. And that is what they're really pushing. That's where they're headed. So, yeah, 30 by 30 is the first goal. And what you'll read in the CAP report is they say, and if we get to 30 by 30, then we're set up so that we can get to 50 by 50. So it is a very serious agenda. You know, when this first really came out, I think most people probably wouldn't have thought too much about it and just kind of laughed it off and thought, you know, that's just something very extreme out there. But we have to remember that what has changed is that those people who've been pushing that are now in lead policy positions in this administration. So it's no longer something we can ignore or not take seriously, because they are taking it seriously, and they would very much like to get this implemented.
So on a local level, again, let's kind of got a couple questions left here. What can the local residents do if I'm a landowner out there and I want to stay aware of what's happening with this 30 by 30 and the whole environmental executive order? What should I be doing?
I think definitely getting organized locally. If there is a committee that's being formed or whatever landowners group is being formed in Cherry County, I'd say get involved in that. And support your county commissioners. You know, they're the ones who are in a position to really put in good policies that protect the county, and help them do that. You know, help them set those good policies and support them. And when they stand up and they take positions opposing this, it's really important that the people stand behind them. So that's very important. As far as staying apprised of what's going on the national level, we have a new service that we put out, which is a free subscription if anybody wants to sign up for it. And it's the Liberty Matters News Service. You can get to it off of our website, which is AmericanStewards.us. And sign up for that. When new things are happening on the 30 by 30 front, we're getting those out through that service. And that's one way we're trying to keep people informed. Also, you know, if something is happening in Congress, like the big wilderness bill starts moving in the Senate, we'll be putting out action alerts so that people on the ground can make calls to their congressmen and make sure that they get the word out to the people, and we really show a force of opposition against those kind of policies going through Congress.
What kind of response are you getting, or kickback? Kickback's the wrong word to use there, but what kind of reception are you getting from Congress people and senators?
You know, a very good reception. I'm really, really pleased with our Republican delegation in particular, because they're, you know, as soon as they were aware of 30 by 30, 30 by 30 kind of snuck in under the radar. It, you know, in the climate crisis EO, there was so much that was impacting emissions and oil and gas, but that's where a lot of the focus went. But when they saw that 30 by 30 was in there, they responded very quickly. And we have in particular one congressional leader back there, Representative Bobart, who is in northern Colorado, northwest Colorado, who jumped on this immediately. And she and her staff made sure that the House Resource Committee was fully apprised, and I think all of them, as soon as they've heard about it, they've really responded very appropriately and opposed this. The other thing that I think is a huge credit to Nebraska is your governor was the first governor to come out and oppose this. And it hasn't ended there. I know that he's been working on educating his counterparts, other governors in other states. So it's one of those issues that when people learn about it, it's really hard to be on the fence on this one. You're either for or against private property rights and whether or not landowners should make decisions over their own land. So it's had a very, very good positive response.
Again, we're visiting with Margaret Byfield, who was here in Valentine March 9th. We wanted to just kind of follow up with Margaret. She is with American Stewards of Liberty, which their website is AmericanStewards.us. You can go to find more information out there. Margaret, we maybe have a couple minutes left here. I want to just give you a couple minutes here to kind of summarize where we're at, what we're doing, what we need to do, what to be aware of. What's your wholesales, your two-minute elevator pitch? What's that going to be today?
Well, I think just stay diligent. Be aware that to sell this program, they are going to have to try to get landowners to believe that they're going to be working with them, and this is just a program that's there to help them. And I think be very wary of that message. That's the only way that they're going to be able to sell this to private landowners. So just be very cautious of that. Of course, listen to the rhetoric, but watch what they do, because that's what's really going to tell you the story. And then stay very vigilant at the local level when you hear programs that look like they could be dressed up to get to the 30 by 30. Make sure your elected leaders know about them. Make sure your neighbors know about them. Stay organized locally and diligent. And also, you know, stay on your congressmen and your senators and your state government officials as well, and make sure that they know you want them to oppose this.
All right. Well, Margaret, we appreciate you being with us today on the comment program. You'll be in Rapid City at the Elks Theater, 7 p.m. on April 20th, right? Coming up in just a couple weeks.
Yes. And I should mention, too, that in Paxton, Nebraska, your commissioner, Commissioner Tanya Storr, is going to be doing an update on 30 by 30 for people down there as well. So that's, I think, on next Tuesday, the 12th.
Okay. We'll follow up with her about that then. So, Margaret, we appreciate you sharing more information, and maybe we'll get an opportunity to be in touch again as things develop, and we'll kind of keep an eye on that American Stewards of Liberty website.
Great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Okay. Margaret Byfield has been our guest with American Stewards of Liberty. Thanks to her for making time for us today, and hopefully it's been informative for our listeners there. And I know not everybody agrees with some of the things that we're talking about on here, and that's why this is a opinion program, I guess. But if you're interested in becoming involved, Zach, you might have that PSA in there about, I think the meeting for the local group is going to be on the 13th at the Sail Barn that evening. And we'll be sure to get that information out to you a little bit more. And you can hear about that on the Friday comment program. We'll have a representative in here from the local group to kind of share with what they want to accomplish with that as well. So we hope that you'll be paying attention to that. I'm sure they'll have a good-sized crowd there on the 13th if they're not in the middle of calving and stuff. So we'll keep you apprised of that situation. So that is going to be our comment program for today. We appreciate you joining us. Tomorrow, I believe, we'll have Valentine Police Chief Dana Miller with us for that monthly update. So that's the comment program today.